Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Ever since Cain, there have been people going through religious motions, and their hearts are not right with God. If you think that you're okay with God because you go to church, or if you think that you're okay with God because you tithe, or for any other reason, then you are sadly mistaken.
Whatever we do for God, whether it's serving in a ministry or maybe tithing, what matters most to God is the condition of our hearts and whether we do what we do out of a love relationship with Him. It's not our offering or sacrifice God wants. It's us, all of us, our hearts. As we continue our study through chapters 3 and 4 of Genesis, we look at the offerings Cain and Abel brought to the Lord and what made them so very different. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil." And look again at the word us. He could be speaking to the angels, but in Genesis 1:26 it says, "Let us make man in our own image." And now, lest he put his hand out and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden. So you remember, there were all of the trees that were in the garden, then the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. They were not to eat of the tree of good and evil. Now they have the tree of life that is still there, and they could take the tree of life and they could eat it and they could live forever in their sinful state. God says, lest they do that, he removed them from the garden. So there has been no fountain of youth, but there has been in the past a tree of youth as of sorts that you could eat of this tree and live forever. And that would be a curse, to live forever in our sinful state. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And so he drove out man, and he placed a cherubim in the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So he removes him from the Garden of Eden, and he places something to block out of the way. Now, after the flood, the Garden of Eden, the area will be destroyed. The tree of life is no longer around, so if people try to find it, they're not going to be able to find it to live forever. Let's go ahead and see how far we can make it into chapter 4. Now, Adam knew his wife Eve, and that is that they conceived, and she conceived and bore Cain. And said, "I have acquired a man-child of the Lord." And she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of the flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen?" Now notice that it was Cain and his offering that is rejected. It has been suggested that the reason that God rejected Cain's offering is that it was fruit rather than being an animal. That Abel brought of the flock and that Cain brought of the ground. But remember, in the law, they brought all kinds of offerings. You were to bring the firstborn among the flocks. You were to bring grain offerings. You were to bring drink offerings. You brought everything to God. Doesn't have to do with the fact that one of them was killing an animal and one of them wasn't. It has to do with Abel having a right heart and Cain not having a right heart. The same thing has been true throughout the years when it comes to interaction with God. In Isaiah, he wrote, "These people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Ever since Cain, there have been people going through religious motions, and their hearts are not right with God. If you think that you're okay with God because you go to church, or if you think that you're okay with God because you tithe, or for any other reason, then you are sadly mistaken. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees of his day, "Rightly did Isaiah say of you, that you draw near to me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." What God wants from us is for us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And whatever we do for him, church, prayer, tithe, giving to the poor, anything that God has us do, it all comes out of that relationship with him. But you can never pay, whether it be going to church or doing something religious, you can never pay by giving tithes to make things right with God. When people say, here's some money for the church, just say a prayer to the man upstairs for me. That never works. The story is told of one Calvary Chapel pastor was given a large sum of money. The guy passed it across the table. He wasn't a Christian. Passed it across the table and said, "I just want to give your church this money and just say a prayer to the man upstairs for me." And he took the check and tore it up. It was Raul Reese. I don't know all of the details about how much money it was. I forgot all those details. But he tore it up and said, "God doesn't want your money. God wants you." And so Abel and his offering was accepted. Cain and his offering was not accepted. And we get a further picture of this as the Lord asks him why his countenance has fallen in verse 6. So the Lord God said to Cain, "Well, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen?" That's a good verse. Next time you're with somebody and they get really angry, ask them that. "Well, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen?" If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now, they're living in a world that is sin, and sin lies at the door for all of us, and its desire is for us, but we should rule over sin. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we have been freed from sin, that we are no longer slaves to it. Sin was crouching at the door for Cain. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, verse 8, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said to him, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Interesting phrase, isn't it? The voice of your brother's blood cries out from the ground. God sees everything that happens. God sees every innocent person that is killed. We live in an increasingly violent world. We certainly live in a violent world for the unborn. Here recently in Congress, there had been a bill that had been brought to the floor that would make it illegal to kill an unborn child based upon their sex. Because in abortion, and maybe you don't know this, it's more likely that a girl is to be aborted than a boy to be aborted. And so this law was brought to the House and was promptly rejected and not talked about much. I don't know if you heard much about that particular law, but not talked about much. There's a lot of rhetoric that goes out, but the truth is there's a lot of innocent blood that is spilled around the world. And you wonder if that is not part of what makes God finally say, I've had enough. When the wrath of God is complete. But I can't help but when I read this to think of that. Verse 11, so now you are cursed from the earth. Now, Cain is cursed from the earth. He finds himself under a curse, not the ground, but him, which has opened its mouth and received your brother's blood from you. And you will till the ground. It shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. The Lord God said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. The Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Remember that all of the descendants of Cain were killed in the flood. So when it talks about the mark of Cain, there's no one on earth today that has the mark of Cain. There was a mark that was set upon Cain so that people would know that it was him and that they were not to kill him. God is particularly gracious to Cain. God could say, you've killed your brother, and now you will be killed for what you have done. God could say, as men look to Cain to kill him, God could have said, well, those are the consequences of your sin. But God is particularly gracious. God is incredibly gracious. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and to Irad, Mahajalal, and to Mahajalal begat Methuselah, Methuselah begat Lamech. And Lamech took for himself two wives and had a television show called Sister Wives. No, that's not what it had. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all of those who play the harp and the flute. So it seems that as children were born, that they had each of them had certain specific skills. These had musical skills. I don't have Jubal anywhere in my background, by the way. Some of you guys have a lot. I don't have any. And as for Zilhah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman of bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naam. And Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zilhah. This is a little bragging session on his part. Hear my voice, wives of Lamech. Listen to me, my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain is to be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. All of a sudden in chapter 4, we have a world in which there's murder taking place. We live in a brutal world. We live in a world where people do unspeakable things. This is what God would have kept man from. Man's decision to live apart from God, man's decision to not trust God, to walk away from God, has resulted in the world that we live in. And here it is right away. We're only in chapter 4, and we have two murders. But God's got a plan. God's got a plan of redemption for this world that has fallen so far. And wouldn't you say that life is a gift? Life is a gift. We enjoy life. And yet there's all this brutality that is around us. People say, well, why did God make evil? Why did God make this world? Why did God make it the way that he was? Remembering that God didn't create sin, man chose to not do what God wanted him to do, which ended up being sin. God didn't create darkness. He created light, which drove out darkness. When man decides to live apart from God, he lives in the results of God. But when people say, why did God create the world knowing that there would be evil? Let me ask you a question. You ask that question to me. Why would God make a world knowing that there was going to be evil? Would you rather that God didn't create it? Would you rather that we would not be here? I think the answer to that is no. I'm glad we're here. Now, I realize there may be some of you at this point in time in your life, you may go, yeah, I'd rather God just didn't create us, to be honest with you. I might get that answer from some, but the vast majority of us, when we boil it down, go, no, we enjoy life. Life is full of sorrow and pain. Life is full of difficulties and hardships, and with many days comes many sorrows, right? And yet we love the gift of life. We love what God has given us. We want to live our lives in such a way that God is glorified through them. And so the world that we live in and why it's like chapter 4, who can know all of those details? God has done what God has done. And who's going to tell God that he can't do it? You say, well, if I were God, I would have created the world differently. I wouldn't have created it with all of this murder and mayhem and all of these things going on. But you're not God. God's ways are as high above your ways as the heavens are above the earth. And the Bible says that the God of the earth will do right. Excuse me, I'm going to rephrase that. I'm going to quote it correctly. The judge of the earth will do right. God has done what's right. You study the book of Job. All throughout the book, Job has questions for God. Job has three friends that show up, and with friends like that, you don't need enemies, by the way. These guys are pretty miserable guys. Then there's a young guy that shows up, and he gives some advice, and it's the best out of all of them that is given. But out of all of it, Job says, I would ask God, and I would ask God, and I would ask God, and I would ask God. And then he finally finds himself in front of God. And God says, now you pull up your pants. You gird your loins. It's really what he's saying. You pull up your pants because I'm going to ask you some questions. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And Job goes, nowhere. Where were you when I made the Leviathan and the Behemoth? We don't exactly know which animals they are, perhaps a sea monster and perhaps a dinosaur. Where were you when I made those? God begins to ask a series of dozens of questions to Job, which to all of them, all Job could do respond would be a shoulder shrug. The Bible tells us that God is totally awesome. In the end, in Revelation, the angels turn around and go, your judgments are right and true. God has put us here in this world, and we are thankful to be here. We wish that there wasn't these difficulties that are around us, but that is the world that we are living in. The good news is that God has not abandoned us to this fallen world. God has a plan, and that's what we find at the end of chapter 4. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. Don't forget the seed that will crush the serpent's head and will bruise his heel. That seed would come through Seth. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and his name was Enosh. Then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. It is from the descendants of Seth that men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. The descendants of Cain that are out now, away from God, there's all of this mayhem, but God's plan is through the seed of Seth, as men begin to call upon the name of the Lord to deal with sin and with mayhem. The bottom line is, really, when it comes to the condition of the world around us and the awful things that people do and why God allows it and allows a world and has created a world where these things are, is that we truly do not know. We must throw ourselves before the Creator of the universe and say, Lord, we believe that you will do justly, and you are a complete, total, awesome God. But it is amazing that by chapter 4, things are a complete mess. But it is also amazing that by chapter 4, God's plan is already laid out. God has already set it in motion. And now men are beginning to seek him. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the revelation that we find of this world that we live in. We look around us and we see hardships and we see evil. There are men who are evil and we don't understand it. We find ourselves at times saying, I wouldn't have done it that way. And you have created the world the way it is, and you have made us free moral agents. We can choose you, or we can choose to live apart from you. And if you are light and you are goodness, then living apart from you is a choice to live in darkness and in evil. And in all of that, we don't claim to understand it. We just want to call upon your name. We want to know you, the God who has created the universe. We want to know the one who came into this world to die for our sins. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. I'd also like to ask that no one would leave early. We're almost done. We'll dismiss you here shortly. But I want to give you an opportunity, if you're here today, you've never given your life to Christ, to surrender yourself to him. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, everything becomes new. God wants to give you a clean start. God wants to give you a new start. God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And if you've never discovered what that is, then today would be an opportunity for you to find it. I had said during my prayer that God is good and God is light. And if men decide to live apart from God, then they will live in evil and they will live in darkness. Life apart from God is a life of darkness. The Bible says those who live in darkness have seen a great light. Speaking of those that were in Galilee when Jesus was born, God wants to bring a great light into your life. He wants to give you life and life more abundantly. He wants you to rejoice. The Bible says those who don't know God will be destroyed, but those who know him will rejoice. If you have never committed your life to him, you've never come to that place where you've surrendered and said, I want to follow him, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just lift your hand up. By lifting your hand up, you're saying, I'm done living for myself, and I'm now ready to live for him. I'm now ready to surrender my life to him. Raise your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to make my way around the room and acknowledge your hand. God bless you, ma'am. Right in the back, that's great. Anyone else? Just lift your hand up now. Again, lift it up high so I can see it. I'll scan the room one more time. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Just raise your hand. Lift it up now. All right. You can put your hand down, and I would like everyone, including the gal who raised her hand, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed and encouraged here at Practical Christian Living Radio to live out God's Word and to love like Jesus as you do. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. For our local radio listeners, Calvary Tucson is open and holding physical services while being mindful and considerate of social distancing guidelines. We also have new service times. Our East Campus now meets Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times will remain the same, Wednesday, 6 p.m. at East Campus, 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have concerns about your health or you're in a high-risk category, please attend our online campus. You can watch at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. For a complete list of social distancing policies and updates on when other ministries within our church will reopen, please visit calvarytucson.com. If Practical Christian Living Radio has blessed you and you would like to donate and help support this ministry, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? Please email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.